Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over or under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group. And Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. It is Monday, the 23rd of May. And we are here to handicap the slate of games for Tuesday, the 24th of May. We're pulling double duty today. Already done the Monday games, which hopefully people caught up with and got your bets on. The first pitch is around about half an hour from now. And joining me for the second time today is a rather sleepy Mr. Noah Bennick. Noah, how are you doing, man? Nice to see you awake.
How's it going, Malcolm? Yeah, just a little boneheaded move by me on my part. Took a pill for sinuses, and then while I was handicapping games in our little four-hour window, passed out. So I don't have my typical DFS. I don't have my typical DFS stats that I typically would for a podcast, but I'm ready to go with some gambling angles and ready to pick some games with you. So without further ado,
I feel like I'm slowly dragging everyone down to my level. This is what I tend to do. Instead of raising my level to that of those, I'll just drag everyone down. So everyone's starting to get the times wrong now because of me. I've now started to get you all messed up with the times. And now you start sleeping through things. My general lethargy towards everything is starting to rub off all this way. So, yeah. You can have that. You can have that little nap on. Not a problem.
Literally, if you want to sneak peek into our group chat, it was okay. I've started to handicap these games, and then boom, my computer gives me this little notification. And it's 4:30, the recording time. Malcolm goes, "I'm done." And I was like, "Holy shit!" My hand is all red because I just fell asleep on my keyboard. But yeah, so not the brightest move by my part, but. We're ready now.
we're very ready. And luckily, we've got all the winners as well. So I don't like about any of that. We've already had some...
I came in third overall for Tally Site. You had a good week as well.
Yeah. I keep landing ahead. Keep landing in plus 500, which in a long old MLB season is a good place to be. And I seem to be on fire with the over-unders. That's been my friend the last 3 or 4 weeks now. So,
nice.
Yeah, just keep doing what I'm doing. Like, so, yeah, it's working out all right. We've already had some feedback from the earlier podcast that we did today for the Monday game.
Oh, did we?
I did take the piss out of you a little bit. I suppose you slept through all that. There's a couple of people laughing at the mild amount of stick I gave you. And then also the ad read, which will come up later on. I'm sure we'll get to that. The Manscaped ad read.
It's actually
Patrick is in touch.
It's actually nice to know that people don't skip through those and they'll actually listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit. Sometimes, if you haven't got time, you just want to get to the picks, you might just skip through to the end. But I can't imagine people ever do that with us. Yeah, Patrick was being in touch. So thanks for getting in touch, Patrick. I'm glad you enjoyed my work on the ad read. And like I say, I hope you take your balls for a pina colada later on.
Hit us up on Twitter at MLBSGPN or Malcolm on Twitter, me on Twitter. I love answering DMs on different games and stuff. It's always fun talking to you guys. So love the interactions.
The first game tomorrow is a 6:35 Eastern first pitch, which is the Colorado Rockies and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it is one of the few TBD pitches. I think we might have two, possibly three tonight. So we can get this one out the way first. Kyle Freeland is going for Colorado. And it's the Pirates who are TBD. I've got nothing at all for them. Freeland 1-4 with a 4.85 ERA. And that's about all I can tell you. There's no lines up on Tally site either, which tells you the pitching matchup is still up in the air. This was a game that I was actually looking to see what happened today in that Rockies and Pirates game. Because we fancied Colorado. I think at least two of us locked them up, actually. Me and Dylan locked up Colorado earlier on. But I did want to watch this game just to see how they played off the back of that long home stand that they'd had. And Freeland has been good on his two road starts. So I was looking towards the Rockies as a lean. He's got a 0.82 ERA on the road. Only had those two starts, but nothing. He hasn't done anything wrong. But yeah, but apart from that, I can't give you anything else really. Noah, did anything come onto your radar with this one, or was it just too vague?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a little vague when you're missing a pitcher here, but this is Mitch Keller's spot in the rotation, but the Pirates moved him to the bullpen because he's been so inconsistent, and that they're hoping that if they just give him a one, maybe a two inning job, that he can shore up on some of his location issues and stuff like that, because he does show promise at some times, and it's really frustrating as somewhat of a Pirates fan to see the talent that he could have and doesn't bring to the table every given day. So I would mention this. Have you guys had Ariel Epstein on the podcast? I know Dave was trying to get us with her, right?
Yeah, Moonaf has. I think they did some NBA stuff last week.
Okay. So, yeah, Ariel on the MLB Network pre-game spread. I forget the name of the show. She locked up the Pirates on the money line against the Rockies today on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we got a little bit of a duel.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we'll test our metal against Ariel and see. Yeah. What comes up there. So we move on to the 6:40 Eastern first pitch, which is the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds. Marcus Stroman is pitching for the Cubs, and Tyler Marley goes for Cincinnati. The Cubs are -106, Cincinnati -112, so very nearly a pick 'em. The over-under is at 8. Noah, take it away. Cubs at Reds.
Yeah, so Marcus Stroman's 1-4 on the year with a 4.88 ERA, 28 strikeouts, 31.1 innings pitched on the season. In the Stroh's first appearance back from injury, he pitched 5 innings with 6 strikeouts, 0 walks, and 2 earned runs against the Diamondbacks, which was actually his best start so far this season. On the other end, Tyler Mahle is another struggling pitcher, who is 2-4 on the year with a 5.23 ERA in 43.1 innings pitched with 44 strikeouts and 20 walks. His last two starts were against Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and they have been great. In both games, he went 6 innings and gave up 2 runs to Pitt and only 1 to Cleveland. I'll pick the Reds to win the game, cover, and for the total to go under.
Okay, I love that. I thought exactly the same. I've got the Reds down. I took them earlier on a couple of hours ago at +100, so they've shortened up a little bit to that -112 price. I just don't really trust Stroman. Actually, both pitchers recently have been a lot better. If you look at the last couple of starts, Strowman has given up, what, 4 earned runs in his last 18 innings pitched. He had a good start at Milwaukee where he gave up no earned runs through 7. And then he had that little break for injury. That was on the 1st of May. Then he came back on the 19th of May. So he had a couple of weeks off and he's been fine. And Tyler Marley, actually, I think we've picked him the last couple of times on the podcast. And he's done okay for us. He seems to be rolling a little bit. I thought that was a decent price for Marley. And again, if it's not broke, don't fix it. He got a win at Pittsburgh for us and pitched really well, just gave up one at Cleveland. And Cincinnati are a different team, frankly.
I mentioned the stat where both these teams have placed 15 guys on the injured list in the last 5 days, which is just crazy. And that's one thing, one reason why I like the unders here for this series.
Yeah, I was just saying that Cincinnati being almost a different team, really. So at least they're playing kind of 500 ball ever since they had that disastrous early start. Joey Votto was eventually back off the COVID IL. I had him on my TGFBI team.
He hit a home run in Toronto over the weekend.
Yeah, I think he was on my bench. That's probably why I didn't notice that. He just had that. He had that COVID little designation for about 2 weeks. So obviously,
I know he's Canadian, and they were advertising that as like his last game in Toronto. So that was a big moment. That was pretty cool.
Okay, interesting. So that'll help them as well. Hopefully, he can. I need a few dingers in that fantasy league. So. Hopefully that'll do it for us. So, all about the Reds for us. Then we'll take Tyler Marley. There, 6:40 Eastern first pitch is the Miami Marlins at the Tampa Bay Rays. Pablo Lopez and Shane McClanahan are the two pitchers. Whoa, there, my tally site has just gone berserk. Miami are plus 140. Underdogs and Tampa Bay are minus 164. The overall under is at a very skinny looking minus 6.5, which is because this looks like a proper pitcher's duel. Lopez is 4-1, 1.57 ERA. He started 8 games, pitched 46 innings with 48 strikeouts. He's got a whip of 0.91. McClanahan is 3-2 with a 2.33 ERA. 46 and a third innings pitch, 65 strikeouts and a 0.86 whip. 8 games started, each in the two pitchers whips are 0.91 and 0.86, which is mega impressive. Lopez has been going along great. He did give up 3 earned runs and only pitched 3 innings against Washington last time. That was by far his worst start of the season, or a shakiest start, maybe a better way of describing it. He's had 3 road starts so far this season, 0.47 ERA in those 3 road starts. McClanahan's only given up 1 earned run in his last 14 innings pitched. Tampa are coming good as well. We always sort of just don't ignore them, but the amount of time, even on this podcast, there's been a lot of Yankees chat, there's been a lot of Toronto chat, there's been a lot of Boston chat. And I can't remember talking at length about Tampa Bay. This is just how they do things under the radar. We've probably given Baltimore more coverage than Tampa. But they are 24-17. They've got a better record than Toronto. They're 6-4 in the last 10. A plus run differential. Absolutely fine. I thought this was a hard game to handicap. I thought that Tampa were too short on the money line. I couldn't take them on the money line. I couldn't in any good faith take the under 6.5 either. So as boring as it sounds, I've got a no bet for this one. No apologies for that. That stinks. But yeah, it was a no bet. Everything just seemed way too tight and I wasn't good enough to separate them. Did you have an opinion on any side here?
Well, so these are my predicted AL East champions this year in the Tampa Bay Rays. And I will be grabbing my popcorn because this is, in my opinion, the matchup of the day between my two workhorses on my fantasy roster, Pablo Lopez and Shane O'Mac, both, I think, 6th and 7th round picks. Those are the two guys that I can really take pride in right now that they're performing for me in the D-Gen League. But, If you're willing to do it, the under 6.5 is very, very tempting because both these guys have dealt so far this year. And like you said, the Tampa Bay money line would be the side that I would choose, but it looks a little juicy. And I wouldn't be too comfortable in taking that, knowing that Pablo Lopez could easily be on the other side and shove himself. So, I mean, yeah. I under 6.5 would be a bet if you would take one. That would be the one that I would recommend.
Okay, yeah, it's skinny, but yeah, it's skinny for a reason, and it's there to be taken on if you want to do it. So no problem with that at all. No, it is going to be a really tight game. Next is the 7:05 Eastern first pitch between the LA Dodgers and the Washington Nationals. Walker Buehler goes for the Dodgers, and Jojo Gray goes for Washington. The lines are -250 for the Dodgers, +208 for Washington. The over under is set at 8.5. And you've got this one under control. Noah, tell us all about it.
Yeah, so Walker Buehler versus Josiah Gray. Buehler, he's 5-1 on the year with a 2.89 ERA, 39 strikeouts, only 12 walks, and 47.2 innings pitched. And his last two starts, they've come at home in Dodger Stadium against the D-backs and the Phillies. He gave up 5 runs to Philly and 2 to the Snakes. Overall, they were 2 non-Buehler-like starts, so I look for him to bounce back in this matchup. As for Josiah Gray, he's 4-3 on the year with a 4.36 ERA, 46 strikeouts, only 18 walks, and 43.1 innings pitched. JoJo's last two outings resulted in a no decision versus the Marlins and a loss versus the Astros. Take that into account, he racked up 12 strikeouts and only 2 walks in the combined 12.1 innings pitched against the two teams. Gray was tagged by a good Houston lineup for 6 runs, but reading in between the lines, it wasn't that bad of a start. I'm looking at big time value for the Nationals on the money line, run line, and the total to be under. I'll bet all of those.
Okay. I came down on the Nationals as well, not as aggressively as you used to have. I'm still not completely out on Gray. I think he's got some bits and bobs left in him. One of the things, you know, is sometimes you hear other people, you can get seduced by what other people tell you. And I think I listened to the radio call of the Nationals game a couple of weeks ago. And obviously it was the Nationals announcers. So they were everything he'd done wrong, they were making an excuse for it. Everything he'd done right, they were talking up. But yeah, I've watched a couple of his starts and I think there's definitely some upside there. So I thought that the Nationals would get close to the Dodgers and at least one of this set. And I thought it might be tomorrow. So my lean was the run line. We're getting plus money on Washington on the run line here, +120. So yeah, I thought with those the extra run and a half, I wasn't as brave as you and put them up on the money line. Yeah, but I'll take them with that run and a half to keep this game relatively close. If you want that +120, the place to find it is at WinBet. The Bet 50 to win $200 promotion is still rolling along. $50 bet will qualify you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the WinBet Casino is offering the 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All users can receive a $20 free bet, whether they win, lose, or push. With 3 or more leg build your own bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. The match is coming at the win bet as well. The Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers versus Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Brady and Rodgers are -200. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes +165. That's going to be a lot of fun. Loads to choose from. Just download the WinBet app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or over and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Next game, 7:05 Eastern. First pitch is the Baltimore Orioles at the New York Yankees. This is Bruce Zimmerman against Jordan Montgomery. And the lines are... Baltimore +213. New York Yankees -253. The over or under is set at 8. Zimmerman is 2-2 with a 3.48 ERA, started 8 games, pitched 41 and a third with 34 Ks and a whip of 1.26. Montgomery is 0-1, can't buy a win, Montgomery. 3.35 ERA, 40 and a third, 32 Ks in a 1.12 whip. The two pitchers have almost identical lines here. We've got the pitch 1 in indifference, 41 and a third to 40 and a third. We've got 34 strikeouts to 32. And we've got a whip of 1.26 to 1.12 and 13 points separating the ERA as well. I seem to have handicapped the Orioles and the Yankees every day for about 3 weeks. So, like, I don't know what else I could say about these things. These two pitchers actually faced each other last week. Zimmerman, they did get to him a little bit. Not hugely. I think he was a little bit unlucky. They did 7 hits, 5 earned runs on 5 innings pitched. But in the same game, Montgomery went 7 hits and 3 earned runs as well. So I don't know. It's a real tight one here. I'm not unhappy taking Baltimore. I took them every day last week in various guises. Today, I think that the run line might be the line for Baltimore. Just a little bit like Washington, take the underdogs. Baltimore at plus money again, plus 105 with that 1.5 run start. Yeah, they've been more than competitive, Baltimore. I wouldn't put you off the money line, to be honest with you. But I'll be a little bit more conservative, which isn't like me, and I'll take Baltimore on the run line. What do you think about this one, Noah?
Yeah, so like you said, the listeners that are listening to every podcast, they would have heard me giving out the PVB for this exact matchup last week. And correct. in this exact matchup, Zimmerman, he does not usually do too well against the Yankees. A lot of the Yankees have great hitting numbers against Zimmerman. So I'm going to be on the other side of this game from you. I'm going to take the Yankees on the money line, the run line, and I'll take the over 8.
Okay. Yeah. I remember I think I did quite well with some of those Baltimore players in DFS, particularly actually last week. That was good info. Next is a 7:20. Eastern first pitch, which is the Phillies at the Braves. Kyle Gibson goes for the Phillies, and Max Fried is on the hill for Atlanta. The lines are the Phillies are slight underdogs at plus 126. Atlanta are minus 145. The over or under is set at 7.5. A good game to handicap this one. Relatively tight game. Kyle Gibson has been going along fine. He's 3-2, 3.98 ERA. Started 8 games, 43 innings pitched. Has struck out 37 with a whip of 1.23. And Max Fried is 4-2. Has an ERA of 3.31. Again, 8 games started, 49 innings pitched. He struck out 47 and has a whip of 1.04. Gibson's been reliable in every start, apart from one against the Dodgers. The Dodgers, obviously, with that lineup, can get to absolutely anyone. Max Fried hasn't particularly convinced me in his last 2 starts. He's given up 3 and 4 earned runs in those 2 starts. The conclusion I came to here, I've written down a really sweaty over. That's what we're going to have here. We're going to take the over 7.5, and it's going to land on 8. So we're not going to win this one easy. It's not going to finish 9-6. We're not going to get 15 runs. We're going to take the over, and we're going to win by half a run. But there's nothing wrong with winning by half a run, though, and that's what we're going to do here. What did you think about the Phillies at the Braves?
You know, that was my most confident pick in this matchup. I look at it, and a lot of people are going to see Fried, Gibson. That's a good pitches matchup. And when you dig a little bit deeper, that Phillies bullpen is not great. So I think once this Braves hitting lineup can get into that bullpen, they should be able to see some success. Oh, my God, I can't talk. But Yeah, I really like this over. So, and I don't think it's going to be a very public play either, just by looking at the pitching matchup. So I like the over 7.5, and I'll take the Braves to win and cover the run line.
Yeah, not going to bet those. The names in the records will kind of instantly point towards the under, but just a little bit of recency there on Max Fried and that dodgy start gives out against the Dodgers. And like you say, the Phillies pen as well. Yeah, I think we can get to the over. Next is a 7:40 Eastern first pitch, the Detroit Tigers and the Minnesota Twins. We have had some discombobulation regarding the Detroit pitcher here, because I handicapped Eduardo Rodriguez, but you since tell me that Tarik Skubal is going for Detroit. So I'll defer to you this game in a little while. Sonny Gray is on the mound for the Minnesota Twins. The Twins are -222 favourites. Detroit are +187. Over under a set at 8.5. Sonny Gray, 1-1, 3.48 ERA. Pitched 20 2/3. Remember, he had a late start of the season for Sonny Gray. 25 strikeouts and a 1.26 whip. What I've written down for Gray has been steady, verging on the good. So we're getting there. He needs to limit his walks. That's key for Sonny Gray. Minnesota 13-8 at home. I thought the bigger, a slightly better fight. Obviously, I'd written down Minnesota on the run line because I thought this had an E-Rod blow-up spot written all over it. Now, we're not going to get the chance to see that. Because you're going to tell us about Tarik Skubal and if he can keep Detroit competitive here, Noah.
Yeah, so E-Rod, like you mentioned, Eduardo Rodriguez, who is the opening day starter for the Tigers, has been quite disappointing this year. And in his last start against Tampa Bay, they normally hit very well against E-Rod, and they bounced him out of the first inning. He did leave due to injury, but they put up 3 runs on him in like 4 at-bats. It was kind of crazy. So I think I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast too, but this Tigers starting rotation is just down to the bitter, and it's Tarik Skubal and like young guns that we've brought up from the minor leagues. So the way Skubal's been pitching this year so far, he's been lights out, and it has a lot of this fan base believing that this is the opening day starter. This is the ace for years to come. So far this year, he is 3-2 in 44.2 innings pitched. He's given up 9 total runs with 50 strikeouts to 8 walks on the year. Diving into his profile a little bit more, his last 3 outings, he has not given up a run. So that is 18 straight innings with no runs. And in those 18 innings, he has 21 strikeouts. So yeah, this kid's just an absolute stud. And Sonny Gray, like you mentioned, he's actually been quite good this year. And we were talking offline, this is sort of a sneaky pitching matchup. So the reason why I know Skubal's going is because he got drilled last week in his start by a line drive right off the shin. And because of E-Rod missing the day, they decided to throw Fiedo due to a rainout yesterday. And now Monday, Brisky's going, and it moves Skubal into E-Rod's rotational spot. So it works out good for the Tigers, but overall just not a pretty situation for, I don't know, the next month for the Tigers here with just no veteran pitching.
Yeah, they're having to move all the pieces around. The one little nugget I have got on Detroit that I'll point out is that they're by far the lowest scoring team in MLB. They've scored 33 fewer runs than the Pirates, who were the second lowest scoring team. I think they scored 110 runs, Detroit, which is, particularly
I think, low. I mean, I play with some Hispanics on my college ball team, and they say the same thing. I mean, up here in America, it's cold in the north, and they don't really get going until it gets warmer. And we see that with Miguel Cabrera every year. He's heating up right now. He's hitting like .333 in his last 10 games or something like that. So it's kind of normal. Last year they had a rough start, and then they got really hot in the summer months. You hate it sucks that it happens, but you can't blame them for not being used to the weather. It's hard to adjust to.
Yeah, they're already a few, about 2 weeks behind the curve from last season when they actually started heating up. So we've been waiting for that to kick in. So we'll just have to see. I'll tell you what they could do with, Noah. They could do with some Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. That'll sort them out. One delicious scoop of AG1 and the Detroit Tigers will absorb 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help them start their day right. A special blend of ingredients which supports the gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy recovery focus, and aging. All the things the Detroit Tiger needs to get back in the win column. Costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery. And Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune support and vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. That's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Do you think my fantasy team can get that too?
I'm not even sure Athletic Greens could save your fantasy team, mate. You need a few nose beers or something. But maybe you could right the ship this week. Who knows? Next up is the 7:45 Eastern first pitch. The Toronto Blue Jays at the St. Louis Cardinals. Kevin Gausman goes for Toronto. And Jordan Hicks is the pitcher, I reckon, is going to take the hill for St. Louis. There are no lines. I've got no lines on this whatsoever. Because I think you say that the pitching for the for St. Louis hasn't been confirmed yet, although I believe it to be Jordan Hicks. Noah, did you get to handicap this one much with that TBD pitch? Do you have anyone for St. Louis against Toronto?
So you said you found Jordan Hicks, which took me a little bit off guard because I didn't find somebody. But I mean, on the other side, when you got Kevin Gausman on the mound, does it really matter? Gausman's 3-3 on the year with a 2.52 ERA, 57 strikeouts to only 3 walks on the season and 51.2 innings pitched. Gausman is coming off a start where he put up his lowest total of strikeouts in a game so far this season with only 3 against the Mariners. There's no probable pitcher. Well, Jordan Hicks is probably going, but I look for a good bounce back spot and bounce back performance from Gausman here.
Exact opposite, I'm afraid. I am fading these Blue Jays. I know. It's not.
So what if I told you under? What if we compromise on an under?
I will take the under. I've got no problem with that at all. Obviously, we'll need to see a number because it's going to be low. They're just going to see Gausman's name on there, and it's going to be 7. So I'd struggle to take the 7. Hicks puts up identical lines every time he pitches. It's just 2s and 3s everywhere. That's all you can see. 2 hits, 3 runs, 3 runs, 2 hits, 3 innings, 2 hits, 3, 2 walks. It's 2s and 3s across the board for Hicks. However, the Blue Jays are just, I did mention on the earlier podcast that they're starting to concern me. And I've had a little bit of a deeper dive since we recorded that this afternoon. They're 22-19. Their expected win-loss, so the Pythagorean win-loss, it's got them at 19-22. So they haven't been very good, and they've also been a bit lucky as well. So I don't think that's going to hold as much. It was the price, I think. With Gausman on the mound, I think St. Louis will be a big price here. They've got a good lineup. I think St. Louis have got every chance of winning this game against a Toronto side who aren't convincing me even a little bit. So, I'll take St. Louis on the money. I don't know what it'll be. I'm guessing it'll be plus money with Gausman going for the Blue Jays. So, give me St. Louis as a live dog. We need to see the price. I'll go for that one. Next is at 8:10 Eastern first pitch, which is the Guardians at the Astros. Again, TBD pitcher. No, it's not TBD. It's Cal Quantrill I got to the bottom of this one. Cal Quantrill is going to go for the Guardians, and Framber Valdez will go for the Houston Astros. The lines are not up. I don't have any lines for this one, unfortunately. Quantrill, 1-2 with a 3.48 ERA. Started 7 games, pitched 41 1/3. 25 strikeouts and a 1.19 whip. Valdez is 3-2 with a 2.68 ERA. Started 8 games, 47 innings pitched, 39 Ks and a 1.26 whip. Quantrill's been good. So he's been okay. He gets deep into games. He's very reliable. He gets you 6 or 7 innings every time. Valdez has only given up 4 runs in his last 20 2/3. He struck out 20. Like I just talked about with Jordan Hicks, actually, you get a very similar line with Valdez every time. Houston are 12-5 at home. Trust Valdez, but I think Quantrill can go all right here. Obviously, I haven't seen a line. I don't think the sign would be too prohibitive, though. So I'd be leaning towards the under if we can see maybe an 8.5 or possibly an 8, an under for me. Cleveland at Houston, Noah.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I love this under. I like Quantrill. He's very fun to watch as we face him a couple of times a year with being in the AL Central. And I mean, Framber Valdez, there's nothing really much I can add on to you. Just he's a stud as well on the mound. So under would be my choice in this game. And then I'd take the Astros to win and cover the run line on my tally site. So check out on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com MLB picks. I'll have every game chosen, money line, run line totals. Last week, I kind of took a couple of games off just so I could appear on some leaderboards and get back at some internet trolls. But yeah, I'll be back to my usual grind this week.
The cynical maneuver, mate. That's very crafty. I like it. I am all for it. The next game on the card is the clash of the Sox. It is the Red Sox and the White Sox. 8:10 Eastern, first pitch. Nick Pivetta goes for the Boston Red Sox and Dylan Cease for the Chicago White Sox. Dylan Cease and the White Sox are the favourites at -161. Boston +138. Over or under is set at 8. Nick Pivetta. Let's just have a look. He's 2-4, 4.22 ERA so far for Pivetta. He's pitched 42 2/3 in 8 starts.
He's coming off that complete game too.
Yeah. 41 strikeouts. And a whip of 1.15. And as Noah says, yeah, he pitched a complete game last time. Gave up 1 earned run on 2 hits, striking out 8 against Houston, which was a stellar performance from Pivetta. Dylan Cease has also been going through the gears as well. Dylan Cease is 4-1. He has an ERA of 3.09. Yeah, but Nick Pivetta's, you tend to, if you sign up for Nick Pivetta, you just have to get on the roller coaster and see like how much fun you have, because you never really know what you're getting. However, that's kind of leveled out relatively recently.
Let me ask you this.
However,
so the complete game seems like it's getting more and more rare. It's almost like we're treating it as a no hitter, and the no hitter is being treated as a perfect game right now, with the way that the bullpen management and the starting pitching, like pitch limit, is being managed. So is this like, would you kind of fade this like a guy coming off a no hitter?
A little bit, yeah. I like to fade certainly. Or even a couple of years ago, there was a school of thought you would always fade a pitcher off like a 10 strikeout performance, just because their arm was ready to fall off next time out. And that's a little bit like when you've thrown a complete game, ready to fade him. I mean, compare that with Dylan Cease's last 3 games. We're talking about how well Dylan Cease has been pitching, and he has 4-1, 3.09 ERA. Last 3 starts have been 5 innings, 4 innings, and 5 2/3.
Yeah,
Yeah, but so, I mean, you're averaging half a game.
Yeah, with those strikeouts, I mean, he's racking up his own pitch count. He's getting 10, 11, 12 strikeouts in a game.
Yeah.
That's 46 pitches in its own, just on the 12 strikeouts or whatever, the 10 strikeouts.
Yeah, so it's hard to know where to stand. I just think I have to fade Pivetta, yeah. To be honest, I'd faded him. I'm going to fade him, but I hadn't, not because of the complete game. Actually, you've thrown that in. And that just makes me feel a little bit better about it. Boston have been better. They've just won that four-game set at the week over the weekend. But Cease's been rolling. I think this could be relatively low scoring. White Sox got that win eventually over the Yankees in the face of all that Tim Anderson nonsense over the weekend.
Yeah,
I think the White Sox will win. I think it might be a little 4-1, a little 4-2, something like that. And I was having to actually take the White Sox on the run line here, plus 130, getting that run and a half start. I think Pivetta has got a potential blow up in him because it's all been going a little bit too well, and I just don't trust it. So yeah, I think that could go that way. What do you think?
I mean, that's my angle. I really like it. I'm fading Pivetta coming off the complete game. And like you said, he might just kind of be due. And it's Cease on the other end. So you know you're going to get 4, 5, 6 good innings from the guy. The minus 150 seems like it's a little juicier, but I don't have much, nervousness. I don't know. I can't think of a better word off the top of my head, but this Boston bullpen has been, like you said, a roller coaster as of late. You never know what you're going to get from the back end guys. So they are rolling as of right now, but I mean, I'll take the White Sox on the money line, the spread, and I'll take the over in this game.
Oh, going the other way. So it's White Sox with the disagreement on the lines. Right, okay, Patrick, here we go. Manscaped. Whew, you ready? I'm going to add, take a deep breath. Are you ready? Let's go for it. Sweaty sack summer is approaching, and it's time for you to prioritise the comfort of your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. We've had the honour of testing them here at SGP. And apparently it is the softest fabric of any underwear. So breathable that it's like gills for your groin. But even trademarked the dual pouch, so you know it's serious. It sounds serious. I think it's time you invest in your family jewels. Let your bulls breathe and get 20% off and free shipping by using code SGP at manscaped.com. So let's say, for example, Noah, you're on a date and your partner catches that Manscaped trademark on the waistband of your pants. It's almost guaranteed to raise some eyebrows and act like the billboard on the highway to Pleasure Town. So outside of that, you've got the lawnmower 4.0, the electric trimmer for below the waist grooming, the jewel pouch cradles your boys in their own special space lined with perforated performance fabric. Micromodal fabric is buttery soft and breathable. The tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in, and it is flat against your skin to reduce chafing. Front fly, easy access, and you can choose from any arrangement of designs and colours and sizes, ranging from small to 3XL.
Did you say chafing?
Chaffing, yeah. What did you want me to say?
Chafing?
Would you like me to say chafing?
I think that's what the word is, right?
Well, in your country, let a thousand blossoms bloom. The word's chaffing, yeah. It's not that funny. Of all the stupid things I've said on this podcast, you can't hang me up about chaffing. Listen, if I went and spoke to any one of my mates tomorrow, like if and I said, I was the new pants, so I played baseball in the weekend, me bollocks were chaffing against me leg. Like chaffing is the acceptable pronunciation. and I refuse to back down on that. What am I doing? I'm giving you all 20% off so you can avoid chaffing. Free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Once the boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you'll never look back. I'm going to think of something that rhymes with chaffing now and make my own little ad read for the next time.
What we need to do is make our own little ad read about Andrew Chaffin or Chaffin.
Oh, of course, yeah.
There you go.
You see now that, yeah. Was he a chaffing or a chafing?
I think he's chafing.
There you go then. That poor man can't be chafing.
He's a big man. He's got some big legs. He might be chafing.
He's a hairy man as well. He's got that, great,
that too.
He's got that mullet and that great tash going. So yeah, I reckon the
nice curls on it as well.
A bit of a man rug down there to sort out. Yeah, he should be the poster boy, really.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, we'll sort that out. We nearly got through that, and then you chimed up with your chaffing chat, and
it made Patrick laugh. That's all I meant.
Yeah. That was that little 3 minute. Piece was exclusively for Patrick. I hope you enjoyed that, mate. Next, where should we go? We'll go to the Texas Rangers at the LA Angels, 9:38 Eastern first pitch. Dane Dunning goes for Texas and Noah Syndergaard goes for the Angels. The Rangers are an underdog at +148. Thor and the Angels are -175. The over or under is set at 8. Dunning, 1-2, 3.92 ERA, 43 2/3, 43 Ks, and a 1.21 whip. Syndergaard, 3-2, 3.60 ERA, started 6 games, 30 innings pitched, 22 Ks, and a 1.23 whip. Dunning had a bad outing, 2 starts ago against Boston, but he's been okay apart from that. He's slightly worse on the road, which is a mild concern here. Syndergaard got smashed up last time at Texas, as it happens. He only managed 2 outs in that game, gave up 4 earned runs. But he was great before that. I know it might have been you who pointed out, you or Dylan, that his velo was down a little bit and that that was a red flag for a potential blow-up for Syndergaard. So maybe that came home to roost last time out.
I said his velo was down and he was due for a blow up, and then he gave him out on my DFS lineup and then he blew up.
I played him that night. That was the night I wrote down everything you said and I played him that night, and woke up and
he looked like the best guy later on the slate, but that was not pretty.
Yeah, -3.5 points or something. Thank you very much.
I think that actually was correct.
Yeah, $2 I'm never going to see again. The key to this game is whether or not you fancy the Syndergaard bounce back. If you think he's going to bounce back, you take them. The Angels' bats are in good form as well. I know Mike Trout nearly hit for the cycle last night. I think it was last night, or it might have been the night before. Shohei is still rolling. The Angels are 14-8 at home. Now, just checking these odds again, because I got this earlier on at -130. You see, that's moved. I wrote down, this should be -150. Now it's updated to -175. So actually, that's flip-flopped a lot. That changes things a little bit. If you were an early bird and got that -130 at WinBet about 2 hours ago, then you're in business. I can't rightfully give that out at -175. I could go to the under here because, like I said, Dunning's been going okay. But I'm going to pivot away. I'll get your opinion here because I was happy with the Angels at -130, but not at this revised price, Noah.
Yeah. I would say this. I wouldn't be nervous about playing the Rangers on the money line. They've been better than expected this year. And my actual angle for this game is Dane Dunning strikeout prop, because guy's been consistently racking up 5, 6, 7 strikeouts a game, and the Angels are one of the worst teams in strikeout rate against right-handed pitching. So, they do have a ton of offensive boppers, but it's basically like 3 true outcomes with that team. They're either hitting a home run, they're striking out, or they're walking. So I would be looking into a strikeout prop on Dunning. if it's not over a 7.
Yeah, I like Dunning. He's good to watch. That'll be a good game to watch, actually. The 9:40 Eastern first pitch is the Kansas City Royals at the Arizona Diamondbacks. On the mound for Kansas City will be Jonathan Heasley. And on the mound for Arizona is Zach Gallen. The Lions, if I can just fetch him up. Kansas City are +157. Arizona -183. That's probably the shortest price the D-backs have been so far this season. Over under set at 8.5. Noah, you can lead us off with Kansas and the -183 Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, the -183 is going to scare me off the money line, but it's not going to scare me off the run line here. Jonathan Heasley, he's 0-2 on the year with a 4.32 ERA with only 2 strikeouts and 7 walks and 8.1 innings pitched. He has started 2 games. His record owns losses against the White Sox and the Rangers so far this year with only 1 strikeout in each game. Personally, I'm kind of rooting against this guy so that way Brady Singer can sneak back into the rotation and get another opportunity. As for Zach Gallen, he's 3-0 on the year with a 1.14 ERA, 39 strikeouts, only 8 walks in 39 innings pitched. Gallen has been one of the best arms this season, just riding under the radar. The milk jug has wins in 3 of his last 4 outings, and that one other start was a no decision versus the Cubs where he had 9 strikeouts and only gave up 1 run. I love the D-backs to win this game, cover the spread, and keep it under.
Did you just call him the milk jug?
Yes, sir.
Oh, is that a thing that you've just called him, or is this a real thing?
Well, you get a gallon of milk from the grocery store. And
I worked that. I did have to, I ran it through my brain for about 6 seconds, and I reached that conclusion. I just didn't know if this was a common nickname or if something that you were just trying to get the stick.
I don't think it is. I think I've seen it on Twitter from like one other account, and then I kind of just took it and ran with it a couple of times.
Okay, good. Yeah, count me in. I will from henceforth call him the milk jug. Heasley, I just happened to look at Jonathan Heasley here, and he could be Andrew Chafin's twin brother. He's got the little curly mullet coming out of the back. He's quite a jolly looking round faced fella. With the tash and the curly mullet going on. So, yeah, this is all tying in. People think this show's just thrown together, Noah, and I'm here to tell you different.
I passed out until recording.
You did crank out a 4-hour nap this afternoon while I was waiting for you to join me. So, yeah, that's a decent effort. I got the under on this one. Gallen's been great. And Heasley hasn't been too bad. And also, I do think the D-backs' bats are going to cool off a little bit. So even if Arizona can comfortably win this, it might be something like a 5-1 game. So the 8.5 seems really high for me. And I had quite a strong feeling, because Kansas City aren't hitting either, that this could quite easily get to the under 8.5. I like that one a lot. Next is a 9:40 Eastern first pitch between the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners. James Caprillion goes for Oakland and George Kirby for Seattle. Seattle are the favourites, -153. Oakland +131. Over or under is set at 7.5. Caprillion is 0-2, 4.50 ERA. He's pitched 18 innings, 16 strikeouts and a 1.28 whip. Kirby is 0-1. With a 3.60 ERA. 3 starts for George Kirby. Has pitched 15 innings and struck out 11 to a whip of 1.13. Caprillion's been good. He started really well last season and I picked him up in a few places and I think we backed him a few times and got some results and then he kind of fell off a cliff. He's given up no more than 2 earned runs in his last 3 starts. And I've got no issues with him on the road either. Seems to be quite settled on the road. Kirby had 2 excellent starts when he first came up. And then Boston caught him last time for 8 hits and 5 earned runs. I'm not sure what to expect from Kirby here. It's how Kirby reacts. With a little combination here, I'm going to back Kirby's ability, and I'm also going to back Caprilian's recent performances, and that led me to the under 7.5 here at -103. You mentioned on the earlier pod today, I think, about Auckland's AAA lineup as well. So not expecting a load of runs from them. So yeah, all of that pointed to the under. I don't 7.5 often a bit skinny for me, but looking at that, I got that at -103. So Auckland at Seattle, Noah.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Kirby can take advantage of this weak lineup that you mentioned, because I will be starting him in fantasy. The kid has a lot of talent, some very good promise from him. It seems like a good play to be taking the Seattle on the money line. I'll pick them to cover the spread, and I really like that under. That under is going to be my favorite bet from this game, under 7.5.
Okay, so co-signed Noah there on the under. Next, we have two games left to handicap. The 9:40 Eastern first pitch is the Milwaukee Brewers at the San Diego Padres. Corbin Burnes for the Brewers and Blake Snell for the Padres. I bet you there's been some line movement here as well. This is that time of night where it's after midnight here now where I am. But I think obviously America's just waking up and the odds are changing stuff. Yeah, a little bit. I'm going to talk you through what's happening here. So the Brewers are -130, San Diego +111. Over or under is at 6.5. Again, when I handicapped this earlier on, I got Milwaukee at -115, which was my pick, and they've now shortened up to -130. But you've got this one covered, Noah. So talk us through Milwaukee at San Diego.
Yeah, so 2 years ago, we would have said this is a pitcher's duel and a must-watch game. But with Snell's recent injuries, it's tough to guarantee that still. In his first start back, Snell took a loss to the Phillies where he gave up 3 runs and 4.2 innings pitched with 5 strikeouts and 3 walks. As for Corbin Burnes, the reigning NL Cy Young winner, he is 1-2 on the year, but his record does not reflect how good he has been so far this year. Again, he owns a 2.26 ERA with 62 strikeouts and only 8 walks in 52.1 innings pitched. He's not quite off to that heroic start where he went like 55 strikeouts to 0 walks, but it's still really dang good. In his second start this season, I'm hoping Blake Snell steps up a little bit and plays into the moment to give us a nice under. However, I'll take the Brew Crew to win, the Padres to cover the run line.
Yeah, I thought this was a great chance for Milwaukee to take on Snell. I hope Snell gets back to something like decent form. Like I say, he had that one start. Still not really what to expect from him. And I think the Brewers seem well placed to take advantage of that against the lefty as well. So, yeah, really tight game. It was certainly tight there earlier on when I saw the prices. And I was just taking the better pitcher here. Pretty straightforward. I don't think there's much between the two lineups. So give me the better and more reliable pitcher in Corbin Burnes. So Milwaukee at -115. Has shifted slightly towards -130. So have a shop around, see what you can find there. But yeah, the Brewers are the bet for me.
That's a low total, but the Padres have been basically automatic on the under. They've been the Reds for the under this year so far.
Yeah, they're the opposite end. last game is the 9:45 Eastern first pitch is the New York Mets at the San Francisco Giants. Chris Bassitt goes for the Mets and Logan Webb goes for the Giants. The lines are New York are underdogs here at +114. San Francisco at -133. Another low total over or under is set at 7. Bassitt is 4-2 with a 2.77 ERA. Started 8 games, 48 2/3, pitched 49 strikeouts and a 109 whip. Logan Webb, 5-1, 3.54 ERA. 8 games started, 48 1/3 pitched, 34 Ks and a 1.26 whip. Bassitt, 4 earned runs on 9 hits last time out against St. Louis, but he'd been stellar before that. St. Louis also got to where Logan Webb 2 starts ago. And generally, if you take those two St. Louis starts out, and I know you can't just randomly take any starts out that fit your narrative, but I think Bassett's been sharper than Webb so far this season. So for me, this was a case of a slightly better pitcher and a slightly better team. I think the Mets are a better team than the Giants. And plus money, plus 114 for a better baseball team. I'll take that all day, every day. Yeah, this is a strong pick for me and a plus money underdog, Noah.
You know what? You can't take two games out of his record for St. Louis. If you can do that, I can do that. I'm going to do that.
It was one game each. It was one game from each pitcher. That made it even.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Logan Webb has two games against St. Louis, too.
I think it was his thing. Yeah, it was he had one decent one, and then two starts ago, maybe they got to him a little bit. Yeah, it struck me as a decent comparison to make, because I was taking out one start against St. Louis. It was the one on the 7th of May where he went for 8 hits and 4 earned runs, which is a very similar length, as the Bassett one was 9 hits and 4 earned runs. So that meant I could offset them, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, okay. I misunderstood you then. But I will say this. The Logan Webb record of 5-1 doesn't actually reflect. He's actually been not as good as he was last year to start this year.
Exactly, yeah. He has to be in his shop.
Yeah, so I like the under for this matchup because I like both pitchers. I like Bassett. I like Webb. I'm a pitcher guy. I've been giving out a lot of unders on this Monday and Tuesday slate here today, but this is going to be another one. I like the under, and it's St. Louis. They scrap these games out at home. They're down a couple of games in the NL West race. I think this is one that they get against the Mets. I have San Francisco winning the first two games of the series against the Mets.
Okay. Well, you're wrong, but you're entitled to your opinion there. Okay, we've got our lock and dunk to come. Before that, though, let's make sure that you're safe online with IP Vanish. If you use incognito mode, that doesn't actually protect your privacy. Without the security, added security of IP Vanish, you may as well give all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why at the SGPN, we use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. It encrypts 100% of your data, so details, passwords, communications, browsing history, importantly, etc. It will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices, computers, tablets, phones, Fire Sticks. It doesn't sacrifice any speed. You can stream your media on there, do it at home or in public. One push of a button and you are in business with IP Vanish. They're offering 70% off a yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee, the equivalent to getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. Go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP to claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Okay, then, Noah, I think we did a great job there. I'm full of confidence about this Tuesday night picks. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong, always confident. You can lead off, young man. Give us your lock and dog.
So my lock is going to be... I might just give out two plus money picks because those are my two most confident ones today.
Do it.
So let's make the dog the Washington Nationals run line, +1.5, +125. And let's make the lock Arizona Diamondbacks -1.5 at +100.
Wow. Okay. I love that. Like you say, there's an air of confidence around this podcast tonight. I'm going to do the same as you. Not intentionally, actually, because my lock was even money. So I suppose it technically a plus price is plus 100. However, it shifted to +114. I'm taking the New York Mets. I'm taking Chris Bassett to beat Logan Webb. And yeah, I can get that at +114. And also, my dog's going to be a run line the same as yours. I'm going to take Chicago White Sox. Trust Dylan Cease, don't trust Nick Pivetta. Fairly straightforward. And yeah, that blow up might be coming. We might be back on the roller coaster this time tomorrow with Nick Pivetta. So yeah, I'll take Chicago White Sox with the runs +130. Yeah, we did a good job there, mate. Maybe that 4-hour sleep's just got you in the right headspace. You might have to start doing that every day.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go for more.
Ready to go.
Ready to run through a brick wall.
I think we've got slightly delirious in the last 10 minutes. We've handicapped a lot of baseball and we've chatted a lot of baseball. You had a third to be, to do as well today.
Yeah, I know. I got a college baseball pod to go. But yeah, I'm ready to be Josh Donaldson and run through two different teams, my own team and the White Sox team. Let's go.
Yeah, and any neutral out there as well. yeah. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Continue to get in touch. I enjoyed having a little chat with some people. The Slack channel is a very vibrant place. As are the nightly DFS contests as well. A little bit of fun. For a couple of dollars, you can't go wrong. It's worth it just for the crack, really. SportsGamblingPodcast.com. Use the SGP. And that means the banter, Noah, is what we're talking about. Yeah, so.
No, but the way you said that was caught me off guard, and I thought it was funny.
like, rate, review. We need to get higher to 69 in those charts.
There you go.
By all means,
that's another little.
It's all. Yeah, we've definitely got to do
double entendre.
It's 22 minutes after midnight. I am going to go to bed and listen to some baseball on the radio while I'm there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more of this silliness. So what's not to like about any of that? Take care. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.